to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang, your weekly source for all things video game, featuring your hosts, Jay Gist.
Why doesn't Balrog like PlayStation? Because he's an Xboxer.
Chris Fuller.
My friends call me Hadouken because I'm downright fierce.
Curtis Fisher.
Catch me outside or don't catch me at all, but you got to cash that check, bruh.
And your host, Corey Vincent.
Oh, my God. And my name is Corey Vincent, and we have a great show lined up for you today. It is, of course, brought to you by our amazing sponsors, Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. Sacramento's number one comics and coffee location. They're the only one, but don't get it twisted. They are still the best. Also, Gamersups, GG. Get your bump with Gamersups. Use that code word BGB. Get a discount and help to keep this show running every week. And then Energy Esports. Yeah, they do some stuff for us, too.
Who are those guys? I haven't heard of them before.
Yeah. Never heard of them.
I get a paycheck. That's it. Yeah,
that sounds good.
There's so much going on in VGB world, and we're going to get to every little bit of it. We're going to answer every question that's on your mind, except probably the main one. if you guys have Twitter, you guys probably saw there's some changes to VGB. It's a living, breathing organism. Changes come, they happen. Aaron Carter has decided to step away from the show. You know, that's not to say he won't come back or give like a formal exit, like I think we would have wanted, but we're friends still. Everything's cool for all those people speculating online what was going on. My favorite conspiracy theory was that Aaron quit the show so that he could win the giveaway legitimately, and then he would come back. I thought that's why he quit. I almost thought it was true when I heard that rumor.
Does this mean I can't win it now since I'm on the show?
No, you disqualified.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dang.
You can walk out right now, too, and then you might be able to win.
Yeah, there you go.
No, Aaron, he's a huge part of my life. Like, he's a great friend of mine. We will always be good friends. Like, this show wouldn't have been possible without him. And, 5 years is nothing to sneeze at. And, you know, I think part of it goes to the whole thing you hear all the time. Like, you just got to keep collaborating and changing and evolving as an artist or a podcaster or a content creator. And I'm excited for his next steps. You know, he's going to continue on. No doubt. He's not just going to retire. He's going to come up with some great stuff. I'd like to help him collaborate with it. You know, the partnership, we're very open to, you know, where things go. And I just don't want to tarnish it too much or talk too much on this forum. You know, things will maybe come out over time as he wants to talk about them or I do, you know, maybe go into detail on some of the things. But at this point, there's nothing terrible. You know, it's just the way the world works. And I'm sad about it, you know, because I'm so used to him, seeing his face 2 times a week coming in, and he does an amazing job steering the show on the weekend. And I just hold him really dear, and I wish him the best of luck in whatever he does in the future. Follow him on Twitter, Sir Aaron Carter at YDAC, Instagram, all those things to keep up with the projects he's going to be doing. There's a thing, like, people I'm already braced for it because you see it all the time. Like, when someone takes a step away from the show or isn't on a show for a few times, there's a lot of talk of like, well, it's better with this person or it's not as good with that person. But, you know, Video Game Bang is very much its own entity. It's beyond any one of us who was a part of it. And that was always something we'd talked about. And the show's just going to be different. Like, there's no way you could replace Aaron. It's not even on my mind. Like, how could you? You can't replace a person. He had his own unique opinions, the things that made him great. He had strong opinions and backed them up. You know, he was the John Lennon to my Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
However, he's probably more of a McCartney, but, you know.
I thought he was like Ringo.
No, he's definitely.
He's not Ringo? Ringo was nice, too.
Well, Ringo's still alive,
hey,
so.
With no Ringo, there would be no Beatles.
True.
I'm just saying.
Very true. Yeah, very true. But I hope that answers some of your guys' questions, but we have a great show. I'm very excited about the lineup we have. This is a group of people who have kind of circled around the show a lot. They're all very, like, passionate about the game industry and esports, and specifically fighting games.
Yeah.
And
what are those?
I've never heard of those. I'm sure you're going to tell us all about it. So we'll start with like the formal introductions. Jason Gist, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
What have you been doing? So I screwed up your name in the intro. You're CFDJ, Capital Fight District, and I met you through tournaments you were running at
the Gamers Funk Club. Yeah, over there in Natomas.
Yeah. And it's been Harmony ever since, man. So how's you know, how you been doing with your side hustle?
It's been doing good. I've been putting on tournaments monthly over in downtown Sacramento now. We got an awesome venue thanks to Extra Life,
the charity foundation.
The For Children's Miracle Network helps take care of our local children's hospital, which is the UC Davis Children's Hospital. So partnering with them is able to help me get awesome venue downtown at the Capitol Event Center, which is right above the Oblivion Comics and
it's
Coffee.
It's so perfect. They even go up there and sell goodies and stuff.
We talk to them. They set up a table. They bring in food and drink so that people don't have to go downstairs and miss matches. And
yeah, you poor gamers don't even have to go downstairs. You get it all.
The venue really is sick from a player perspective, too, because you have so much space. Like that's a big problem with a lot of tournaments is that you're so much like, you know, bumping butts with everyone else. And, you know, especially in fighting games, like we're all carrying sticks around our shoulders and our hands and stuff, and it's nice to have a space and TVs on the wall to watch Overwatch League or, you know, something else that's going on with the big projector. So it's a really great venue.
Yeah, I went for one of your the SF Shock watch parties, and it was amazing venue.
Yeah, we had almost 120 people there.
Air conditioning
wasn't hot.
That was amazing.
Yeah, we were able to put posters all over, or the flags all over the walls, and got people a little poster building station so they can make signs.
Oh yeah, I still have some of those good ones. I need to take them down to LA. Thanks for reminding me. Also joining us on the show, you're getting to know him a lot better, Curtis. How's it going, man?
Yo, man, been going straight, bro. Been back on the stream. I hit last night and I hit the and Monday night as well. But man, I just been getting down on some Smash Bros on the DS. I'm kind of hyped for you know, for Ultimate to come out. Right, so on. You know, when I ain't watching a Nairo stream, shout out to NRT.
Shout out to my boy Nairobi.
You know what I'm saying? When I ain't watching that, man, I'm just on them sticks, man. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to get it in.
And then Chris Fuller, who, man, fate brought us together, man, because if we didn't meet through, like, all the tournaments that I've seen you at, you happen to be, like, your wife is friends with my wife and David Webb's wife. Mm-hmm. They're all, you know, having girls' nights and things like that, and then we, you know, get cornered together at random events and just get to talk about video games.
Yeah, it's weird.
So what's your background for people who may not? Because you've only been on the show once or twice.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've played games my whole life. My big thing in the competitive scene is I started playing competitive fighters with Street Fighter 4, which has a fun anniversary we're going to talk about later.
Yes.
Spoilers.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I played Street Fighter growing up. Street Fighter 4 dropped, and it turns out, you know, I was kind of wanting to get better at the game. And I was kind of looking online, like, oh, what's going on? And it turns out I was going to school in Southern California, San Fernando Valley. And anyone that knows anything about the history of SoCal arcades, Family Fun Arcade is kind of legendary. And it was just like a mile from my apartment. So worked out pretty well. Went over there and just kind of started snowballing. Found a big passion for competing in Street Fighter and kind of been just going ever since.
So you guys who listen to the show, it always has been a video game centric. We delve into comic books and cosplay and movies and all sorts of stuff. But rarely do I have such a qualified panel, like through and through, to really talk about the FGC. And when it does come up, I know some things. I know a lot of people in the FGC, but I feel like I don't have those FGC stripes to really like wave that flag and be like, yo, FGC in the house. Like, I don't know all the terms. I don't have the history. I've been in a few tournaments. I've been terrible, and I've gotten bodied by all these guys in here in various games throughout the years. But I just kind of wanted to make this FGC 101 for people. VGB is diving into the FGC. So the first thing I want to start going around the table and ask you guys is, Jay, how were you first introduced to the FGC?
So real quick, Shota Coaster has a great question. Is what is the FGC?
That's a great... Let's start with the basics.
So the FGC stands for Fighting Game Community. So this is generally classic fighters. You think of like your Street Fighters, Mortal Kombat's, 3D fighters, your Tekken, Soul Calibers, and then you would mix in Smash Brothers there, which is kind of a little It's like the cousin, like the brother that we all love. But yeah,
the drunk cousin.
Yeah. But yeah, that's FGC means fighting game community.
Yeah, and this, like you said, it encompasses everything in between. So from, do we even know what the first true fighter was?
I don't know. I would probably say maybe Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Was probably where we've seen the most people get together to...
Where it became like a community.
Absolutely, in American culture at least. Like, there's older games, 2D fighters, but Street Fighter 2 was like the first one because they had the interesting mechanic that was actually an accident, which is the canceling system, which you do like a normal attack and then you would do an input for a special move. And so it, instead of waiting for, you know, your normal move to come out then like the fireball, it would actually come out earlier, right? Like, you cancel the ending animation of the moves. And that was actually on accident. But it ended up being, like, the core mechanic to fighting games as we know it today.
When were you first introduced to the FGC? About how old were you? What set the time.
Okay. Well, actually, you know, coming into the FGC was whenever Street Fighter 4 first came to the U.S. And that was in 2009.
So for you, you were, okay, I only know this because of the show, but before you guys were throwing around this term.
O-niner.
So yes, you're an O-niner.
I'm an O-niner. Mm. I mean, I've played fighting games with my friends and stuff in our houses, and, you know, I was always one of the better ones in the block. And then so once you actually learn that there's more people that want to do this and go out and compete, you know, maybe want to go and compete with Street Fighter 4. So one of my first tournaments was actually at the... University of Davis.
Oh, so you went to like a college. And what drove you to actually leave your house and go to a tournament for the first time?
It's competition. I mean, you play fighting games. Almost everybody that's watching this podcast plays fighting games. So you know how you get whenever you get all your friends together. I'm the best. You know, I'm the best. And then you guys sit down and play to figure out, you know, who's the best. And people get mad. People start jumping up and down. And then... you know, you want that feeling, so you go and you hang out with people that want that same experience, the same feeling, and want to see how you put yourself against with other people.
Curtis, how were you introduced to the FGC?
Man, kind of similar. My pops lived out in the Bay Area, out in San Jose, so kind of similar thing, like that arcade culture, you know, got popping. But I was like, I had a small allowance, so I couldn't really get in on the games. Like, I couldn't money match nobody or nothing like that, you know what I mean? So it's pretty much like I mop people to money match come, and they like, you gotta bounce a little, man. But to come back around to it was interesting because, Smash Bros. Came out later. I really, really got into that from N64. Played a little bit of Melee, a little bit of Brawl, but it was really when it came Smash 4, what they call Smash for Wii U or DS. That's when I really got back into it. So I had some extra time on my hands, like, when my kids were gone. And my boy, who I work with, was like, bro, roll with me to this Smash Bros. Tournament. And I was like, okay, cool. So we went out to
Let's do this.
You know what I'm saying?
Seemed like you really had to, you know, twist your arm.
I had to ponder it, man. You know what I'm saying? Deep thoughts, you know. I can't just give my answer right off the top. Got to pause for dramatic, you know what I'm saying? Pause and let that thing settle in. But anyway, we went out there and, you know, it reminded me of kind of like the skateboard culture. When I started skateboarding, I just saw a bunch of cats that didn't all look the same. You know, but everybody was there for the same reason, mm-hmm. and everybody had love for it. And yeah. I was like, man, you know, I already love to play the game. Let me get in on this. And just, you know, I played some friendlies, got mopped. Yeah. I was like, I didn't even know cats were this good.
Is that the standard experience? Like, does everybody just get bodied in their very first, like, a tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Wong or something.
Yeah, I think it's really rare for someone to step up and do really well in their first tournament. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's part of like what will keep you coming back, right? Like, you're like, I got body. I don't ever want to feel like
that, right? While we're on that, the only exception I can think of is actually Snake Eyes. So this was back in, it was 2010, mm-hmm. Evo. This was HD Remix, so Street Fighter Super yep. Turbo HD Remix.
Dope.
He walks in, his very first tournament was that tournament, and he wins it with Zangief, and people just went nuts.
What?
Wow.
First tournament ever, he was Evo champion. So that was a pretty hard act to follow, I'll tell you what.
Absolutely.
Chris, what about you? What was your first game? How did you get introduced to the scene?
Oh, first game, absolutely, no doubt, was Street Fighter 2 in the arcades when I was a little kid. And every Friday, my dad would get his paycheck. We'd go to Round Table Pizza. I'd get 50 cents. I would always pick that green monster and slam that electricity, baby. Everyone that's played Street Fighter knows about some Blanca. But Blanca. That was my dude when I was a kid, man. Growing up, I played all the games. Like, anything fighting games I could get my hands on, I always played it along with, like, other ones. And then it just kind of, you know, along with J09 came out. Street Fighter 4 console release got me hyped to play it. And then at this time, now we have online play. So it's like, oh, I can get better, you know, searching combo videos. Just learning
that one really depends on the developer and how much they invest in those servers. Because a lot of those games, aren't they, like, unplayable? And there's a huge difference in between the guys who go to the tournaments and the online warriors?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I think that gap is closing, to be honest with you. I think more as the FGC has kind of improved overall, I think the overall level of play, like, it kind of accelerates everything, right? You know, we're in the age of information, so people were able to understand the game better. But then now you have more people involved in going from game to game instead of just it being their first one. So, or the new players are going into an ecosystem where a lot of the players are more talented, right?
And yeah.
You have these kind of tutorial stuff, people to look up to, a lot more tournaments. There's a lot more coverage than even it was in 2009. I mean, 2009, when you try to, like, Street Fighter tournament, it was, you could catch a couple Japanese footage, or it was like Arcade Infinity, Family Fun Arcade, Dungeon Arcade tournaments.
Yeah, they're all hand cams, and it was hard to World Star. Figure it out. Yeah,
World Star. I mean, you think about that; that was only a decade ago, right? Yeah. And now it doesn't matter what video game, what competitive game you want to look at, you YouTube it, and it's just endless.
Well, it was BT too; it was before Twitch.
That was before Justin TV.
Oh, okay.
TV, though, the origin.
Yeah.
What was your first tournament, though? Like, what was the first one you showed up to, and what made you show up?
It was had to have been a tournament at Family Fun Arcade, just because this is where I would go, right? Like, get some break off class and go there and play and just get bodied.
What was the year?
Oh, it had to have been 2009, for sure.
Oh, so you guys are both 09ers.
Yeah,
for tournaments, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I thought I had real, like, FGC guys here.
Oh.
Well, you, before the show, you had said there was a stigma, but it's going away now. You guys are the veterans now in the industry. What are the new ones called?
We're not called anything. I mean, since now the information is more coming in, we have more and more players. The arcade culture of it is, you know, slowly going away, but still, you know, a layer of what, you know, the FGC is built on. We're, you know, a lot more accepting of people coming in.
Okay.
Everybody wants to do is get better. Everybody wants to improve and show the developers and all the fans out there that reason why they love each of their games.
I think the FGC has the best culture as far as, like, coming up with terms. I love going to FGC things and hearing, like, OD! Like, you just hear that randomly. Oh, like, yeah. I'm OD! Yeah. Coming across the thing, and you're like, what does that mean? And I have to go to someone. Like, so my thing is, I've been to a lot of tournaments. I've been to some, like, from far away ones to one to locals and stuff, and I get to, I've been blessed enough to be able to hang out with Nairo and do social media for him at some of these tournaments.
Who are you talking about?
Mr. Nairobi Quesada.
Oh, okay.
Can we get those Nairo Apex in the chat, please? But he's an incredible guy, and he's introduced me to the whole crew. So I've hung out with Void and That's Zero and Mewtwo King and EE from the casters, TK Breezy. Like, I love all these guys, are all my friends.
Black
I love
Clay.
We're name dropping in here.
Yeah,
right
we're
now,
name
baby.
Dropping right now. I mean, I didn't have a match with Momochi like you, right? Like, didn't you play against Momochi in Street Fighter?
Oh my God. Okay, so let's drop the story. It was 2 years ago at Evo. Playing Street Fighter V. I'm playing Dalsim, and I'm in Daigo's bracket as well as Choco Blanca. Choco is married to Momochi. So. First day, I go through, I'm undefeated, I take out a couple heroes, like there's I remember one sponsored guy from Mexico came in and unfortunately crushed his dreams, but so it was the last match of the day, and this is to make it out of pools and winners, and I'm playing against Choco, and she was playing Bison, and I had, like, been watching her, and the thing is, like, I've watched Momochi for a long time, and he, like, is obviously really coaches her a lot. And his style, I think, is the most that I identify with from a pro player. Like, there's some other players that are really aggressive or really, like, high-risk type players, and I don't see myself that way. I really kind of see myself in that Momochi style. So, in a sense, I kind of had a feel of what kind of script she wanted to run, right? It was, you know, optimize damage, minimize risk situation. Well, mm-hmm. The thing with Dalsim is he has the reach advantage, right, with all his limbs. So mm-hmm. It was just kind of like I would do the same thing, but my stick's longer, you know what I mean? Like, my buttons,
right?
My buttons go further, and it just kind of, I kind of, you know, washed her, and it felt good, you know, but it was a good match. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And so the next day, right, I'm going in. I know I've got Daigo round two if I win my first match. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, you know, this is, if you guys have ever been to a tournament, like, a lot of times it ends up being where someone early in the day will sit down and start warming up, and people kind of line up to play and get in line for casuals. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it ends up where one person is kind of like sitting there, and it's kind of like a challenge line. Well, so I'm going for, you know, probably like an hour warming up, and all of a sudden Momochi sits down next to me, and I'm trying to be like, I know, obviously I know who he is, like, I'm introducing myself, like, hi, my name's Fuller. And he he goes, I know who you are. Choco's my wife, right? And this man sits down and proceeds to give me the biggest whooping I've ever had in my entire life.
He's going
to
tell you.
My dude, he was defending his family's honor. Like, there was no money. There was no tournament. I was like, nope. This man had never played a harder, more solid, perfect game than he did for those 3 minutes. Yeah. The funny thing was, it was all of a sudden, like, people were watching. Like, oh, Momochi's sitting down. He's about to body this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So hard. Oh, and he gave me the Shoryuken, man. That's all I got
to
say.
Yeah, he had to.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't, when he went home, he's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
But both Choco and Momochi were super nice. Like, the whole time in the tournaments, they're always, like, really big about their fans interacting with them. So there was no hard feelings. I think it's a really funny story that I just got bodied. Momochi had to defend his family's honor in a foreign land, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's so diverse is what's cool too. Like, when you look across the different games, like, it's not like traditional esports where a particular game has a particular type of player.
Right,
like,
right,
you
right.
You can kind of just tell who a CSGO player is, or mm-hmm. a Call of Duty guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, Overwatch is different. That's one's pretty diverse, but, like, nothing like the FGC across all their different titles.
Right.
What do you think the most popular games are in the space right now? Like, today, if you were going to go on Twitch and you're like, I'm going to pick up a game and, you know, just to see what this community is all about. Maybe Chris, what are you thinking?
So, I mean, right now, I think it's the most popular games are probably going to be Smash, Wii U, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and Street Fighter V.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's always, like, spikes and surges in games and new ones. So I know BlazBlue Cross Tag is kind of popular right now because that's came out pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
Tekken 7's having a huge resurgence too. Oh, it
yeah.
seems like
yeah, Tekken.
Yeah, I stay away from those 3D fighters. I'm no good at them.
Yeah.
not since Virtual Fighter, bro.
Oh man, that game's hard. It is real hard.
What are you thinking, Curtis? Like, the big games are, like, right now. What are you watching?
Big games. I mean, Street Fighter V still getting a lot of coverage. Smash for Wii U, Melee still has just such a faithful following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of some of the larger names, but you know, we got Nairo and we got Zero. You know, Zero's just been such.
Well, he's
a
retired, man. He's retired.
He was.
He's retired from competitive play, but he's still
an entertainer.
Content.
Like,
yeah.
his streams has been pretty lit. Like, and you can tell he wants to come back with Ultimate.
See, and that's what I was about to say. Like, it's kind of interesting that Zero retired, you know, like, just that much before Ultimate got officially announced, and then he was there competing, at EVO, not EVO, wow, at E3.
Yeah.
So that's that. But I would say those, and then DBZ is kind of coming up just because of how new it is, and, you know, and there's, so there's some interest around there. But this, you know, the staples are still Street Fighter, and I would say Melee. And yeah, it is true. Tekken coming back up. Mortal Kombat, like they rise and they fall, and then with everything that's supposed to be going on with the next one, we'll see.
What about the DC version?
Oh, Injustice.
Injustice.
Yeah, it's kind of fizzling Justice down. Too. Yeah, yeah. The NRS games, they kind of, you know, they get big for a couple months and they start going down because it looks like they're ready for a new game. Yeah.
I mean, I follow a lot of the esports due to the nature of my job, and it seems like from an outsider's perspective that Dragon Ball has just exploded.
Yeah.
Like the viewership on that, like just on average, has been higher than Street Fighter, yeah. higher than all the Smashes.
Yeah.
Like, and these are not the big ones. These are like the, you know, the house ones that Yipes or Bum is doing on the East Coast, and yeah. then they're just getting nutty viewership.
Right.
Yeah. And Summit of Power had like almost like 50K or some crazy number, and it's like literally just in a mansion and unofficial. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a prize pool because you know, you buy products. I bought like hats and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
But what do you think about Dragon Ball and the success of that one, Fuller?
I think the game, the great thing about it is like the IP just, it really brings everyone together, right? That's the thing, is that everyone really identifies with Dragon Ball, even if you like really weren't familiar with Dragon Ball, right? Like if you didn't grow up watching the series or something, everyone knows who Goku is, right? Everyone's ready to freaking throw down with some Goku. And watch him play. And I think the mechanics of the game are pretty easy, so it's kind of like it's really welcoming to different spaces. Like I've noticed a huge surge of Smash players jumping over into it, right?
That's the thing. Like it's got Punk, like he's playing it. I've seen Momochi in the tournament.
Leffen,
like,
huge Melee player.
From Melee. Yeah. Like it's really collecting. Like it seems like they're side bets. You know, I think yeah. they go to the tournament for the game they're known for. But is that why? Because the game is just kind of easy to pick up, and by their just freak of nature skills, they can naturally do well?
I don't think so. I think, one, it's Dragon Ball. Everyone loves Dragon Ball, especially, you know, in our gaming community. I mean, if you're in a gaming community, you know, you're familiar with some anime, and, you know, Dragon Ball is, like, the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's not limited. It's limited to the 2.5D instead of the 3D. You know, it's not going to be as technical or as crazy as Tekken. And then it's not going to feel like those the Naruto games, which are not that competitive. They're pretty yeah. cheap.
Button Slam Central.
Yeah, yeah. so, you know, it does have the technicality, like you're playing Marvel, which is one of Marvel 2 or Marvel 3, which is one of, you know, some of the best games that were in the FGC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always drove big numbers. All that together brings everybody from all the different games. Like you have people that play Street Fighter that don't play Marvel or don't play Smash, but they'll play Dragon Ball. And then on top of that, one of the little niches we haven't really talked about is the Air Dasher or the anime fighting communities, which, you know, you have the Arc System Works, which developed the game, Dragon Ball FighterZ. You know, they're known as Guilty Gear or yep. or BlazBlue.
Yep.
And so that brings in that group of people as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, like I was talking about before, there's like one of the crazy things is how well they come up with these words. And so you may hear us saying words and you're not going to know what it means. So I wanted to go through quickly and we'll just go through some basic definitions. One is bodied.
Bodied.
It's a good one. It's been around for a while. But Curtis, what does it mean if you get bodied?
Man. See, you got disrespected, Brad. Like, like your mama can't look at you in the eyes no more. You know what I mean? Like, take the stick, disconnect it, and go home, fam. Like, you just lost bad.
You got turned into a body. You were a person. Now you're merely a body.
You're
this man's
cadaver.
Soul is destroyed.
Yep.
Another good one is footsies. Jay's, I think, the one that taught me what footsies was in the beginning.
Yeah, footsies is when you think about it, you have to think about the spacing between your characters and the range of your attacks. So, you know, some of the tricks is to move around. Like when you see the fighters move back and forth, what they're trying to do is to either get themselves into the space that they want to be in or have their opponent trick them to go into the space that you want them to be in so that you're able to attack them safely.
Fighting games are all about like whiffs and punishes.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing. Like before when I'd play, I was straight button mashing. Mm-hmm. And then
get him.
Yeah. I just jumping into him the whole time. Yep. Like if you just jump kick over and over again, you were me. That's what happened.
Jump heavy kick, sweep.
Jump yes, heavy kick. Heavy
that's the combo. That's everybody's yeah. two.
And a guy on the show a lot, Alexander Bags, I spent a lot of time in the lab with him, you know, showing me stuff. And then Jay on a more technical thing. And then Mr. Howard 123, you know, an avid listener. actually made me some personal YouTube videos that showed me cross-ups and things like that, which is like cross-ups when you jump over their head and still manage to like hit a frame on their back where you could turn around and turn it into a combo.
Sour spot.
So I was doing that all the time. And then, so we'll just continue with the lingo here. What is free? Mean Fuller. I mean, we know what it means in real life.
Oh, free is the cost for victory, right there. $3.99. It's on discount. It's on the clearance rack. You know what I'm saying?
If you get called free in a tournament, it is not a good thing.
Nah. 0-2, baby. 0-2.
One of my favorites was like you were talking about 09ers. When I was with Nairo, they would yell "brand new" to people who they thought were like fresh.
People just came in from yeah, they'd be like, Wii U.
Oh, I'm playing against this guy. Like, oh, don't worry, he's brand new. Like, oh, it's brand new. And then they would yell it at each other. Like, brand new. Like, after they bodied somebody.
Yeah.
So use these words in your real life. We'll go through a few more. Let's go through this. You guys may have heard this one because it kind of crossed over into regular video games, but salty.
Salty, yeah.
Oh, the salt.
Salt. Oh, what is that, Curtis?
Oh, bro, that's when you serve it up, man. You just took that L. You're not feeling good about it. You're pouting a little bit.
That's when you shake your controller and you toss it across the room.
Yeah, you start cussing at yourself. I suck. I'm so bad at this. Why am I here?
Or you punch your arcade stick and break your wrist or something like that.
That's the salt, man.
That's the salt, brother.
Do you ever use
these
words to your like family members who are non-gamers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they sneak in sometimes.
Do they get confused? Because like my wife actually gets offended. Sometimes.
Really?
One time she like we were driving out and like I would have like hit something and she gave me like some advice or like was like, oh, watch out. And I was like, ooh, big brain. You know, I was like, I really meant it. Like, thank you. Like, big brain wife, you know, you pulled me out of that one. Yeah. And she was like, held on to it. And like 2 days later, she was like,
she was salty.
I didn't like that. Yeah, she was salty 2 days later. And I same thing with 200 IQ. I was like, oh, 200 IQ. Yeah. And she was like, don't talk to me like that. I was like, no, it means you did like some. I'm legitimately impressed. Like, yeah, it's a compliment. Yeah, it's a compliment to say you have 200 IQ.
Yeah. By the way, baby, you look lovely today.
I've actually kind of converted my wife on a lot of it. Like, I just at first I would like avoid it, be like, oh, you're not gonna understand. I gotta teach her the memes. Now, whenever there's a fresh meme, I just tell her about it. I get excited. That way, I can be like, feels bad, man.
What about run back? Who wants to take that one?
Oh man, that's whenever you're at the lowest and you get that rally coming.
Let's do this. Yeah. You got bodied. Yeah. Yep. You're feeling salty. And then what do?
You run it back.
Hey man, let's run it back. You can't beat me like that in front of everybody, man. Let's run it back.
That's my favorite is the salty run back.
Yep, the salty run back.
A run back is basically a rematch, but a salty run back is like in that same tournament.
Yep.
You know, and you come back through the losers.
Yep.
And you get that salty run back. Oh. Yeah, man. And then when that guy wins, it's bigger. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. I've seen Nairo get booed before just because everybody loves the underdog so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like a huge fan favorite. But that's the thing, like, the FGC, like, comebacks are crazy. Yep. The next topic I wanted to go into is like you hear us talk about esports, but what makes the FGC different than esports? And there's so many things. We talked about the diversity. Overall, it just kind of feels more diverse. And the other part is that they do open tournaments all the time. Like, when you're watching Overwatch League, you're watching, you know, the best of the best in, you know, who got paid a whole bunch of money to join these teams, and they practice scrims and set plays and they go against each other like basketball or something. But in the FGC, it's like
you don't get any of that.
It's like a real open tournament where anybody could come from any walk of life or hop on a plane and show up, and you're playing against the top tier guys. And those top tier competitors have to continually perform. Like, you can't have an off day. Like, I remember, was it Civil War, you know, Zero, who had like won like 80 tournaments in a row.
Yep.
And then, you know, people started catching up. Bayonetta became overpowered. Like, you know, characters started switching around.
Yeah.
And he went out like 50th or 60th or something. And it shocked everybody there.
It did.
Everybody was talking about it, you know. And usually in esports, people are protected. Like, you know, a top tier CS team isn't just going to play against, you know, a rando group of five guys. Because if they lose, that's credibility gone.
Absolutely. It's more like boxing in the FGC.
Yeah.
Like, well, and especially in that regard, I'm sorry, not the FGC, but in the other places where it's like, okay, cool. Like, here's your seed. You have earned the right. you know, and got your clout up to be able to play this team.
Yep.
FCC is dirty. It's like your grandmama can walk in and if she bodies, you know, the number one player. She, you know, made it out of pools and made it. Now Nairo got to play my grandma. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Like, that's just how it is out there. So it's and that's I think that's but that's part of what keeps it so interesting. I mean, like you have people like Zero who have like these like literally he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for as many tournaments as he won in a row. I think it was like 55.
It's crazy.
Like in a row.
Yeah.
But anybody can come up like a guy.
This wasn't
like
Bill Goldberg either. This wasn't like squashing cans. Yeah. He was like going to rank S tournaments and winning,
whipping people. But same thing like in Civil War, because Civil War was supposed to be him against Ally, because they kept having these rounds where it's like, okay, Ally, you know, it's Ally and Zero. Zero won this one. It's Ally and Zero at this tournament. Ally won this one, and they were like, all right, Civil War. All the best people come. We'll split the teams.
They formed
down the
their squads.
Yeah, like, that was crazy.
Nairo was Team Zero, but because of his popularity, people started coming up with Team Nairo, like as an offshoot. Like, you know, he went, like he was going rogue. Were you there?
Nah, I wish. I watched the whole thing though. Like, I even the tournament where they were doing knockout for both sides, I watched that whole thing hours, like the crew battle hours long. Oh my gosh. But that's what makes it a little more volatile in the sense that it's like people aren't so protected. This guy can come out and knock this guy out and not even make it out of pools. And it keeps it interesting. Who's this new guy? Okay, we haven't seen him play before.
The guy who beat Zero at that tournament had cameras in his face.
Yeah.
I was talking to him. He was like, my Twitter followers legit jumped up like 5K.
Yeah.
Because he beat him.
Oh, I think it was Latai.
I can't even remember his name because he was like actually an unknown. Maybe a few people knew, but you know, he built his name off of one match.
Exactly.
And then he faded away because it takes that constant result.
Yeah, but then just imagine if, you know, he was a consistent player, you know, then he would be known as one of the best players right now. Yep. And he would have a huge fan base and people would watch him on stream all the time.
Yeah. It's totally the opportunity for Cinderella stories.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons that makes this great. And also, you know, these tournaments, when they first started, they weren't made for, or, you know, wasn't ran by the developers. It wasn't ran by some people that wanted to make $1 million.
Another glossary term. Tell us what grassroots means.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, grassroots, you know, is built, you know, by the community. Like, if we want to run a tournament, we can't go and talk to Microsoft and be like, hey, look, you know, people want to play this game. Can you run this tournament for us? You know, the players have to be the organizers. The players are the ones that set up the tournaments for everybody to come together. And it's not necessarily like that for CSGO. And it's not like that for Overwatch. It's not like that for a lot of the other esports, because they have people that say, okay, well, we can build a league around this, make a buttload of money, and get tons of sponsors to come in.
But there's also a big logistical element to it, too, that I think kind of just happens like naturally, is that it's really easy to set up a, like, have one arcade cabinet and two people go shoulder to shoulder, right? And where the tournaments really started. It was like, hey, there's going to be this arcade that the cabinet's already set up. You know, come with your quarters, sign up on the sheet, pay your, you know, $5 or $10 or something, and just duke it out. Hey, you guys are up on the machine next. And that's really how it started, you know? And you think about it now, a fighting game, it takes, you know, you can run a tournament. Like, I mean, how many setups do we have for CFD?
Yeah, we have, you know, about 12 to 15 setups.
Right, 15 setups, and you have like 65 people walk in there, right? And that we're going the whole time. Whereas you think of, you know, Overwatch team, you know, even if it's like a one versus one esport like StarCraft, like having a PC like required and, you know, like having everything tuned really well takes up a lot of space. You know what I mean?
And time.
Yeah, space and time. So I think it's more conducive for this style of game, you know, 1v1, one controller, you know, it's just two controllers and, you know, plug and play, go.
That's the cool thing that you touched on too, is like going back to grassroots, that is huge, because and it's amazing more so in the case of games like Smash 4. Like Nintendo spent who knows how much time and resources to try and make Splatoon esports.
Right.
When they already have Smash 4 that they've literally given no attention to. Like, they show up to a few more tournaments now, but I think part of it's Sakurai, who the creator himself said this isn't supposed to be a competitive game. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's probably getting his arm twisted a little bit with Ultimate. Because of the big, you know, what they did at E3, like Curtis talked about before. They did a huge thing. They brought the top Smash 4 players and then put them in a bracket tournament against the top Melee players to try and cross the bridge. The Melee guys got bodied.
Yeah.
I think. And I hope the players move. Like, it was so cool just to see, you know, Mango on stage playing against Zero.
That was so crazy.
Those crossovers were so fun to watch. But yeah, the grassroots stuff keeps it. You do have, like, Capcom does the Capcom Cup, which is like they do a bunch of tournaments and you gain points, and then they do a big
thing. Which is fairly new. What, this is the third year? Or fourth year?
So it sounds something like that. Yeah. It started in Street Fighter 4, didn't it?
Yeah, in Ultra, I think.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to talk about is just where do you think it's going, the FGC? What do you see as the future of it?
Well, for Evo and Capcom Cup, you see it on ESPN now. There's also the E-League that goes on, in TBS?
TBS, yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting a lot more invitational tournaments, which is getting more towards, you know, the esports and a lot of players being able to, like, actually make this a living for them, which is great. But then we also have tons of people that are doing locals, like myself and who's the other guy? Peter and for Computer Builder in Sacramento, he does the tournaments too.
Pedro and David is the guy that owns the show.
Yeah, so you have locals that are doing things like that, as well as the people that have set up the major tournaments, like Jabailey and CEO and Alex Valle for SoCal Regionals, things like that.
There's so much personality in life, like. You could basically find an FGC community. Like, if you're hearing this and you're like, oh, I wish there was one in my area, there probably is. You probably just don't know about it yet.
Yeah, low key. Mm-hmm.
Go on Facebook or Google and type your city name and FGC or city name and the fighting game you think you're the best at, and then go get humbled. and then you make new friends, and then you learn, and then you keep moving on with your FGC crit, then you're Zero.
And part about that too is just my experience that I've seen over the last, you know, 10 years of playing this game is if you're interested in that, like, you really have to be willing to create that community. Like, community isn't just something that happens by accident. Like,
it
takes time and energy, and if it's something that you're interested in and you're passionate about, make the effort, spend the time, and you're going to hear naysayers and people crying about, oh, it's dead, blah, 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 blah. Well, tune them out. They're the clowns that want to sit home and be sad by themselves.
Yep.
Right? Like, just make it happen. Like, Jay here is, like, the best guy that's held the SAC FGC together competitively more than anyone. So, just keep going.
Yeah. It's always amazing when I meet anybody who plays any fighting game in Sacramento, and that's always my go-to. It's like, oh, I know Jay. And they're like, oh, okay, you have credibility in this city.
Jay Gist.
We're going to do a couple news stories, and then we're going to go into our last topic of the day. But one of them is Dragon Ball FighterZ. We talked about it earlier. Is getting some brand new characters. I'm a little disappointed by this. Jay is going to defend it. I'm interested to see what the others think. But obviously, there's so many great characters in Dragon Ball Z, you know, and many of them are in this game already. But they're already starting to, like, dip into, like, all right, now we have Goku, and then there's Goku Black, who is a different character. But then there's Super Saiyan, this level Goku, and now they're going to give you base Goku and base Vegeta.
Yep.
And I feel like that's a ripoff, man. Tell me I'm wrong.
Tell me that you're wrong?
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Your opinion is your opinion. And
no.
I can,
no,
I can
change my mind.
Change your mind.
Change my mind. Okay. I'm going to set up a little booth, and you're going to come up and change my mind.
The only way I can really change your mind is to tell you to go back and watch that fight. Watch Goku, Kaioken versus Vegeta. I mean, after you see Vegeta, like, toss Nappa and kill him.
Oh, see.
Dude, and then Goku's just like, it's on. And then he turns red, and then they start fighting. They pretty much almost kill each other. They get to the point where Krillin busts out with a sword and almost kills Vegeta, because Vegeta can't move. He can't do anything. And then, like, that's one of the best fights in Dragon Ball.
Okay, so I much love for original Goku and original Vegeta, but we already have their Super Saiyan forms, and we have their fusion form now. Vegito is in the game. But, like, why this instead of, I don't know, I'm spacing. But give me another character. Is Broly in the game yet?
He is.
Yeah,
yes.
Broly's in the game.
So I'm gonna step.
No one
here.
Uses him.
Not in tournament.
Not really. He's not that great. But so here's the thing. Here's the reason why Goku is gonna be so sick. Is he gonna introduce with Kaioken, I'm assuming, is gonna be his main like mechanic around it, which is we would call this an install super. Which just means it's like it's a mode where you spend bar and you power up and you get special powered up modes. So there's, you know, if you go back to a similar thing, would go back to like Marvel 3, you have Zero, who, you know, has like Sogenmu, which is like a shadow super, right? So he like powers up, or I'm kind of blanking. Ganagen with Yun.
Or Dante and Devil Trigger.
Yeah, exactly, right? So you have these install supers. And so I think, number one, it's just the iconic install, like the best place to introduce this really big mechanic into a game with, I think, even though I totally agree, Goku is a little played out. Like, I kind of have this issue with games, like when they did, you know, Super Street Fighter, you know, Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, Arcade Edition Mega Ultra, Arcade Edition Mega Ultra Pangus, you know what I mean? Just like, oh, like it just keeps going over and Super Ultra, you know, Plus Ultra all the time. And it gets a bit old, you know what I mean? But I from the gameplay stance and from the lore of the show, I feel like he should have been in there in the beginning. Right? Like, don't give me Super Saiyan Blue Goku. And don't get me wrong, his level 3, he goes Kaioken times 10. Like, and it's just this the hypest super in the game, I think. But it's just, dude, I want to play Goku where I go up and I just, you know, I'm playing, I have my thing, and then I power up for a little bit and I get this extra juice, and then, you know, I get tired and something else happens. You know what I mean? So it makes for a more interesting gameplay from my perspective.
Kind of like the Golden Frieza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Callahan and chat kind of like hit it out of the park. Like, they didn't even have to do any new art when they're adding in this new Goku, because he's Bardock. He looks just like Bardock.
Oh, that's true. Oh yeah, just
and then they put the other
scar.
They put the other clothes on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also in story mode, they already have, you know, Goku not powered up, and then so I mean they did have the model already.
So in the next one, they're gonna put like Kakarot.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, I mean, with this information came out with the DLC, you have Goku. Whenever you lose your first ally, he can access Kaioken times 2. When he's by himself, he can access Kaioken times 20. I mean. Mm-hmm. We need to see if that's like a speed boost. Is that a damage boost?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, if you have level 3 sparking, I mean, you're looking at level 3. You know, if you played Marvel versus Capcom 3, you're looking at a level 3 X Factor Virgil or something. And then he's just going to just mollywop anybody.
Yeah. We went from 101 to like a masterclass real quick in that rant. Because I'm lost as fuck right
now. It's so hard. Me and Jay are on the same wavelength. Yeah. I mean, we're talking, like, it's right there. What he's talking about is just on point. But yeah, it was just to go back a little bit to give a little insight. Marvel 3, very similar 3 versus 3 style. But the thing was, everything did a ridiculous amount of damage in that game. And everyone, there was this comeback mechanic called X Factor where everyone could use it once a game. And depending on how many characters you had, it would scale the strength and the duration. So one of the big strategies of the game, like the main strategy was you pick your team, I kill their first guy, and I keep them in the corner, and I just kill the next two before they get a chance to play. Well, then the plan B or plan C was, okay, my first two guys died. I have this third character that is just outrageously egregious in this powered-up mode called X-Factor. And Virgil was like the classic in that one. So he's Dante's brother, and he would just delete health bars in like 3 hits.
I like these games, those matches do go a long time in Dragon Ball. Like, they go a long time, but the comebacks that can happen out of it are so hype. And while we were talking about whiffs and punishes, it's basically like when you're playing a fighting game, you're waiting to capitalize on a mistake and then deal as much damage, and then you kind of reset to what they call neutral, and then it starts over and over again.
Unless you know what your opponent's going to do when they try to get up. Yep. And if you're already in their head, then you don't even give them a chance to reset or play.
Now you got the reads, right?
Yeah.
Because you downloaded them.
Yeah.
So, hey, more
we're going more words. So, yeah, the reads are like when you read someone. Like, mix-ups is what he's talking about. Like, when you're getting back up, there's a certain amount of things you can do. You can jump if you want, or you can, you know, do a block. You know, there's a throw. Like, whatever you want to do. And then so it's like this constant rock, paper, scissors when someone falls down.
Yeah.
So there's – when you're in and you understand the mechanics of the game, you're watching not just two dudes punch each other until a life bar goes down. You're watching a chess match in all reality. And when you could look at it on that level, the games are infinitely more entertaining to watch. But what makes them cool is that if you just like seeing two characters punch each other, it's still fun. Like, you don't have to know. And and great casters will, like, over time, you'll start understanding, oh, he did that because of that. Or every time he says this word, that means that happened. Like, I had to learn Smash just straight from watching it, like the casters, and what a DI is, and I didn't know, so I had to go online.
Vectoring,
what a hitbox is. There's tons of crazy stuff, but Dragon Ball Z. What are some fighters that aren't in the game that you think should be by now? I saw Curtis, you just put in the Twitch chat. Where's Mr. Satan?
Man, is Mr. Satan in there? If Mr. Satan ain't in there, and if he ain't OP, I said it in the chat, fam. I ain't playing. I need him in there, man.
He has to be the Dan of the game. If they put him in, he has to be bad.
He has to be Dan.
He has to be terrible.
It would be dope if they gave him a Dan skin, just to really, like, drive it home.
He's got the pinky. Yeah, that would be pretty dope. Not gonna lie.
I mean, that's what makes it great, though, because these games don't have to follow the canon. So if someone throws a Mr. Satan in there and, you know, destroys Majin Buu, you know, it's badass. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
You're making your own storylines.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes it fun, you know, because, I mean, you know, that's part of it, right, at the end of the day. And, like, and I understand, like, okay, they're going to put this person, this character, this version of this character. They're trying to keep it lit, you know what I mean? And those are parts of the attachments. Like, if we did watch the show, we liked this version of that character. So they'll withhold them a little bit, knowing that they're going to put them in the game, and then, you know, they'll release them slowly. But they just got to watch how they do that, because it can get tacky and annoying after a while.
Yeah, I think to answer the question about what characters, I mean, they've done a lot in the Super series, right? And I think everyone wants Jiren, right? Like, he's just, that would be so sick. And Topo, and their whole squad. What are their squad name? The leader that Topo is. You know what I'm talking about? So, chat, help me out. Who's Jiren and Topo, their squad from Universe, what are they, Universe 6?
So, I will fully admit that Dragon Ball Super is dope. Like, it is amazing. I haven't had this much fun watching Dragon Ball since the old days.
I couldn't get into it.
You couldn't?
No.
Maybe you gotta just give it another try, man. You gotta give it another try.
Now change his mind.
Have you gotten to the Black Saga?
I didn't get to the Black Saga.
Okay, so you haven't even started the show.
Okay. That's exactly where I ended, was the Black Saga, and now I need to continue on past
that. That's like 50 episodes in.
No, it was so good, though.
Reprimand these men. Take away their nerd cards now.
It's my fault, because I was binge-watching it. Like, I love it, and I'm going to finish it. But
Pride Troopers. Thanks, Callahan.
That's where I'm at right now.
But yeah, I mean, I guess for Super, they didn't add, what, Khalifa? Is that how you say it?
Oh, that would be so sick.
But then that's another Saiyan, you know, and then...
But she's... Son Goku. But you guys don't get that because you haven't seen it, so...
No. Yeah. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
And then there's movie characters, or Great Saiyan Man. They didn't add him, which is another version of Gohan.
Great Saiyan Man as a different character would be legit sick.
His outfit is dope alone.
It's not even a costume?
No. Okay, so Arxis, this is the thing when I first came in, right? Come from Capcom, who just freaking money grabs costumes all day, but we all pay for them because we love them. Is Arxis doesn't do reskins, like, because they do sprites, I guess, or something like that?
No, the way the characters are animated, the lighting is different for each animation. So creating the models to look like their 2D cel-shaded graphics is a lot of work.
That makes sense.
A lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a great response, but yeah, that makes sense.
Some of the originals, though, they haven't even covered. Like, 17 isn't in the game?
Well, technically, he is.
He is technically.
Well, are you talking about playable? The perfect cell, or what?
No, he's an 18.
Yeah, he's an assist with Android 18.
And, like, his level 3. Like, he's kind of like, she calls him out all the time. But I think... someone was saying in chat that they think 17 and Cooler Shoo-ins. Someone had said that they data mined, and I don't know, like, I don't put a lot of stock into that until I see, like, something a little more, but Cooler was apparently, he's apparently coming in 17 for 2. But, man, 17, he'd be freaking raw.
I think it'd be cool to get someone like Whis or something like that.
Whis would be sick, too.
Yeah. What about guest characters? Would you like to see a guest character in Dragon Ball FighterZ?
No.
No?
You talking about, like, a character from another franchise?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Keep it pure.
Yeah, I don't think they could. Or what's Jaco, the guy, the intergalactic super soldier or whatever?
He's I don't know.
He's like been kind of one of those, like, side, like, characters. He gets a lot more, like, he's in the storyline a lot and later on in the show.
The next storyline I have, and this is a game that I don't think would have came up naturally, and that's kind of a good thing because it gets a lot of flack. But the Dead or Alive franchise, I think they may be trying to make a legitimate comeback here because in DOA 6, the franchise has been pretty outspoken about trying to make the game more approachable for new people. Because if you guys have ever seen a Dead or Alive game or a box, like you know what they're using to sell it.
It's all fan service.
It makes sense why I was really about that game in middle school and early high school. I love DOA 2 and 3, man.
I ain't gonna lie. I kind of rocked with the movie. It was a bad movie, but I rocked with it.
All right.
So it's famous for its over-sexualized female characters and the jiggle physics.
What?
You know,
what
are have always been top tier.
I've never noticed that.
Jiggle physics in fighting games has always been, like, Street Fighter V even, like, the
oh, yeah, they had issues for sure. Yeah.
It became a meme, like, you know, on the character select screen with Chun-Li,
yeah.
But the game, like, that's what this game was. And
all it was basically,
and now they're trying to like turn a little bit legitimate, and they're making a huge effort into, you know, making the characters more 2018.
So I will say something about DOA that's interesting though from the actual game perspective. It, as much as we talk about rock paper scissors and like Street Fighter type games, which is more of like a like philosophical rock paper scissors, like I think you're gonna block, so I'm gonna throw you, or I think you're you know gonna do this, so I'm gonna hit you with an invincible move. It really is kind of hard-coded in rock, paper, scissors is like where you have an attack and like counters and throws. And these things really do, it's a little more rock, paper, scissors-y, not only in that philosophical level, but like the mechanical level too. And I think it's interesting. I think it becomes a little, I mean, within there's layers of mind games and stuff. And I definitely play it, right? But I just to give it a little credit where credit's due, I think it does offer something, some different dynamic from the gameplay perspective, not just the fan service, as we're calling it.
Jay Gist is like a big teddy bear of a man. Like, he's so nice, and I rarely hear you say a negative thing about anything, let alone any person. But Emma was on the show and says that DOA was like her favorite fighting franchise. And I don't know if you were in chat or I was just talking to you outside, but I do remember you just being like, no, that game's garbage. Like, it shocked me. I was like, wow, Jay, like when you call something garbage, like I was like, all right, game's garbage. Like, what was your opinion on that? Why did you feel that way?
Oh, it's hard to support a game like that, especially running tournaments. If there was interest, I mean, it's a 3D fighting game, so you don't get a whole lot of interest except for unless it's Tekken or Soul Calibur. But just being able to support that with a particular fan base in mind, it's kind of hard for me as someone that will run, you know, kind of like a family oriented tournament.
Dude,
I mean, even though we'll
you're
do
an
Mortal
amazing
Kombat
family
stuff,
man,
too.
Like your gaming lifestyle for your family is huge. Like, you know, your wife is sewing Overwatch Pachimaris, and you guys are you know doing tournaments and as a family. I've gotten to crash a few of your games where your wife and your daughter are playing as a team and communicating like like an Overwatch League team, like doing callouts. It's pretty amazing. Like. So that I could see that for you, how it would be, you know, important for a family man to do family stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I don't know. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this, and if it is something that people can get behind. If it's a game that will draw a lot of interest. I mean, because if it is, and you could build a community around a game, I'd love to be able to support that.
And I think this is an interesting topic. Sorry, Corey.
No, go ahead.
Go with something. And I think this is really big that I don't know that developers realize. And it kind of segues back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, is what's the future of FGC, like esports, right? And I think like gaming in general, like we're going to see as our generation gets older a much more draw into it, right? Because this is something that we like is culturally norm for us and will be for our kids. So overall, in general, you're going to see stuff, right? Like, there's nothing special about football, the game, or basketball, or, you know, or baseball, the game itself, that's really amazing, that makes all this money. It's the popularity, right?
Yep.
It's the investment of money, because the population wants to watch it. So if you have a population that wants to watch a different game, like investors, you know, sponsors and stuff are going to get in there.
Yep.
But this is one thing that really kind of irks me. Is that when the developers do over-sexualize stuff, right? Like, why, we're creating barriers at any level for anyone to enter into this ecosystem, right? Why is a developer, like, I understand, like, you want to watch pretty girls duke it out, but, like, we don't need to have something where if any parent would be like, no, I don't want my kid playing that game because I feel like that's too much. So why are we even doing that? You can have a pretty girl on the screen duking it out that, like, is not going to create those issues.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys all for joining us on the show. We're going to do a brief after show where I wanted to talk a little bit more about the 10-year anniversary of Street Fighter IV, because it is a legendary, iconic game. I think I remember Body and Chris a couple weeks ago.
Body.
Didn't I?
Oh, yeah, man.
I think I bodied you once or twice. It was pretty. I think you got the best of them. I think you won a lion's share of the matches, but there was a few good ones.
It was close. It was close. It was a good set.
Jay would have been proud of me. You'd have been proud of me. Yes. So we did a giveaway last month, and we want to thank everybody who signed up for the Gleam and followed us and subscribed to the show. And it was for a Nintendo Switch, which we did all come out of pocket for, which was a big step for us. We went from zero giveaways ever on this show to, like, our biggest one. And thanks to the people at Vast GG, Vast Agency, were amazing, and they helped us make sure we did it right and that, you know, many people applied. And a lot of people here are waiting for the results, but I made you wait till the end. See how I did that? So now maybe we could convert two of you into fans instead of just trying to win a Nintendo Switch. But the winner, the name is Alexis Merriweather. From Floyd Knobs, Indiana.
Congratulations.
Nice, nice. Congratulations. Congratulations. I will be reaching out. We will post the results on Twitter as well. On Twitter, this person is Star Merriweather. Looks like a very nice person. Like, I'm very pleased to give this person a Wii U. Very That's wholesome. Nice. We hope maybe they pick up some, you know, not Dragon Ball, but Smash.
Well, yeah. It is coming. Ultimate. Dragon Ball is coming out for the Switch.
Oh,
it
did, yeah, it is.
Today too, yeah. The beta came out, right?
Yeah. Jay Gist, tell everybody where they could get to know more about you and maybe show up to one of your events.
Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at @CFD_Jay. I also have at CFD Gaming. And you'll see some information on any tournaments that'll pop up there as well. And also facebook.com/CapitalFightDistrict.
And you can catch him at, like, all of the SF Shock events, because he is one of the San Francisco Shock brand ambassadors.
That's right.
Nice. So he's always there throwing down, hosting viewing parties in Sacramento. Avid Overwatch player. I don't even know. I should have had you. I don't even know if you're in the FGC anymore, man. You're always on Overwatch and improving too.
You never, like, leave the FGC.
Well, you're getting like actual training from like college people. Like, it's pretty awesome to see your growth as a player.
It's fun being able to level up. I mean, that's why I like fighting games. That way I can, you know, I can learn from my mistakes and get better. And you know, I'm able to do what I've learned in fighting games and take it over to Overwatch.
Curtis, I mean, we already know your grind, but tell everyone again.
Yeah, man. Check me out at twitch.tv/skipintosh, SKIPNTOSH. Yeah, man, just, you know, I'll definitely be playing some Smash, doing some DJ sets, reading comics as well. But Corey keeps, you know, he keeps talking about all these games and maybe I should play Overwatch and all this other stuff. So y'all might see me up there with the pew 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 pew.
Dude, we'll play.
Yeah. I would love to show you the ropes on some Overwatch. You watched some of the stream. It was a saltier stream than usual. I was getting bodied on my main ranked account, so I do take it a little more seriously. I don't even know why I streamed it, honestly. Usually I have my stream account where I don't care.
Yeah.
But I was on my main for some reason, so I was tryharding.
That's right. We just got quick play.
That's right. I do want to say one thing, and to piggyback off of Chris, remember, guys, look for community around you, and if you don't find any around you, that's an opportunity to build it. So if you build it, they will come.
Chris, man, you were a streamer who had numbers that made my mouth water, and you just you're going to school and you're doing a billion other things, but, like, what do you want to promote, man?
Yeah, I mean, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @FullerFGC. There's no, just FullerFGC. Same on Twitch at @FullerFGC. If you guys are interested in DBZ at all, I mean, you can check out some of my past broadcasts. I really do enjoy teaching a lot. So if you guys are like, hey, how can I learn, you know, level up in fighting games? watch some of those. I haven't really, it's been a couple months in the stream, been, you know, like Corey was saying, life, working, spending more time with my wife, getting into other games and whatnot, and I'm back in school, so the streaming's probably put on hiatus for a little bit, but check out the follow, check out the broadcast. Maybe if you guys are interested and want some more content, have any particular questions, I'm always happy to answer them.
All right, man, that does it, man. I'm Corey Vincent. This was Video Game Bang. I want to thank this amazing group of people that I had. Just got lucky enough to organize this on the 10-year anniversary of Street Fighter 4.
C-Squad?
C-Squad. No, not at all, man.
This it's is for the Curtis Squad.
Yeah,
the Chris Squad. Yeah. Jay Giss, the G-Squad. There you go.
Best of luck to Emma Skies and Ivy Doom Kitty as they're at San Diego Comic-Con. Emma, of course, has the big fashion show. And Ray Ray, who's been on the show quite a few times, is trying to win it, so give them some support on Instagram and Twitter. But that's it for Jay Gist, Curtis Jackson. I know it's Fisher, I just like, I don't know why Jackson.
I'm 50 Cent, man.
50 Cent.
Chris Bowler, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.